Open up your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 34. And the reason Alan chose that one was because we were in Isaiah 33 last week. The ESV title of this chapter is Judgment on the Nations. So let's pray that God would make our minds ready to hear and our hearts ready to receive. These are God's words, church. Draw near, O nations, to hear. Give attention, O peoples. Let the earth hear and all that fills it, the world and all that comes from it. For the Lord is enraged against all the nations and furious against all their host. He has devoted them to destruction and has given them over for slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out, and the stench of their corpses shall rise. The mountains shall flow with their blood. All the hosts of heaven shall rot away, and the skies roll up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall as leaves fall from the vine, like leaves falling from the fig tree. For my sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. Behold, it descends for judgment upon Edom, upon the people I have devoted to destruction. The Lord has a sword, and it is sated with blood. It is gorged with fat, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Wild oxen shall fall with them, and young steers with the mighty bulls. Their land shall drink its fill of blood, and their soil shall be gorged with fat. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. And the streams of Edom shall be turned into pitch, and her soil into sulfur. Her land shall become burning pitch. Night and day it shall not be quenched. Its smoke shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the hawk and the porcupine shall possess it. The owl and the raven shall dwell in it. He shall stretch the line of confusion over it, and the plumb line of emptiness. Its nobles, there is no one there to call it a kingdom, and all its princes shall be nothing. Thorns shall grow over its strongholds, nettles and thistles in its fortresses. It shall be the haunt of jackals and an abode for ostriches. And wild animals shall meet with hyenas. The wild goat shall cry to his fellow. Indeed, there the night bird settles and finds her for herself a resting place. There the owl nests and lays and hatches and gathers her young in her shadow. Indeed, there the hawks are gathered, each one with her mate. Seek and read from the book of the Lord. Not one of these shall be missing. None shall be without her mate, for the mouth of the Lord has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. He has cast lots for them. His hand has portioned it out to them with the line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation, they shall dwell in it. These are God's words.
Thank you, John. This is a difficult passage. Today we'll be in chapter 34, my brother, John told you. And, you know, as I said last week and the week before, chapters 32 to 35, Isaiah gives us a prophetic picture of the coming of the Messiah. In today's message, Isaiah gives us a picture of the end times. And while the end times is much debated about when it's coming, what's going to happen, and how it happens, one thing we know for sure, it's coming. It's coming, right? This has caused more fighting when it shouldn't. So I'm going to do my best to explain Isaiah's message as he reveals how the Lord will deal with the nations of this world. And it's going to happen, saints. So if you want to get a closer picture of what he's saying, then you really want to listen and pay attention to this message today. So let us pray, and then we're going to get into the Lord's word. Father, I do pray, Father, now that you empty me of anything, any distractions that I may have. And also, Father, prepare the hearts of those who've come, Father. Allow your message just to reign true in their lives, Father. We ask that you allow your spirit to guide us into the truth of your words. And we ask this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints say, amen. Here we go. Verse 1. Draw near, O nations, to hear. Give attention, O people. Let the earth hear and all that fills it, the world and all that fills it, the world and all that comes from it. Isaiah tells all nations to come close and pay attention to what is about to be said. This message is not only for man, but it is for every created thing on this planet. Everything, saints. This is a heavy message, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. In this message, Isaiah reveals four things that the Lord has for the nations. And the first thing that the Lord has for the nation is his rage. Verse 2 says, "For the Lord is enraged against all the nations and furious against all their host. He has devoted them to destruction, has given them over for slaughter." In this passage, Isaiah tells us that the Lord is more than angry with all the nations and their host being their armies, their instruments of destruction. And he has devoted them to destructions. And believe me, saints, this is not a good thing. In the book of Joshua, we read when cities, people, animals, or anything else is devoted to destruction, they are doomed, destroyed, and slaughtered. Listen to Joshua chapter 6, verse 21. It says, "Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkey, right? With the edge of the sword." When something is devoted to destruction by our Lord, everything will be destroyed. There will be nothing left. Verse 3 explains the slaughter of these armies in a gruesome fashion. Listen to this. "Their slain shall be cast out, and the stench of their corpse shall rise. The mountains shall flow with their blood. The slaughtered will be killed. The slaughtered armies will be killed, and their bodies will be left out to rot." Right? "And the smell of their bodies will be so bad that it can be detected everywhere." These are the armies. And there are so many people, so many soldiers slain, that their blood will flow as the streams of water through the mountains, as if a river is rushing. Verse 4 tells us, "All the host of heaven shall rot away, and the skies roll up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall as leaves fall from the vine, and leaves fall from a fig tree." And again, while there is much debate about the meaning of this passage, it appears that Isaiah is again speaking of the now and not yet. Right? The now and the not yet is that which is happening during his time or our time, but is yet to come to fulfill the prophecy of Christ. That is the now and the not yet. I believe that the host of heaven refers in this passage to both the Assyrian and the Babylonian army. Now, the reason that I believe this to be true is because both armies were called by the Lord as his instrument of correction and punishment. And they were called by the Lord to punish the wicked. So, I mean, think about this. According to Isaiah 10, we read this a long time ago, chapter 5 through 11, the Lord declared Assyria as its rod of anger to punish the wicked. Prophets couldn't understand how could the Lord call such wicked people to bring punishment upon God's chosen. But let us rest assured of this one thing, saints. The Lord knows what he's doing. And because the Lord has devoted these armies to destruction, They will be rolled up and taken away like scrolls. Now it speaks of the heavens. And I believe the reason why it says the host of the heavens is because these are God's instruments that he used to correct unrighteousness, unjustness, evil. But he himself has devoted them to destruction. Right? And it talks about that they would be rolled up and taken away like a scroll in everything they have with them. Right? And just as a leaf falls from a fig tree, so shall they fall from God's anointed. Because God used them and put them in that position to do this work. But yet, I would tell you again that this is a now and a not yet. Why do I say that? Because according to Matthew 24, 29 through 31, and Revelation 6, 12 through 17, it tells us that this will happen when Jesus comes. That everything from heaven will fall. The sky will roll up like a scroll and disappear. It says this in Romans 6. So this is yet to come, but it has already happened. So this is why this is a now and a not yet. And again, if you do your own study and you listen to what other people say about this, there are many people who would agree with this, and there are other people who actually believe that the day of the Lord has already started and we're in it. But the reason that I don't necessarily believe that is according to Scripture, right? In 2 Thessalonians, it tells us that there are going to be those who tell us that the Lord is coming, that this is happening. But he says, not yet. Not until the one in the temple is exposed, the man of iniquity. Not until he comes and he exposes himself shall this become the pass. This is what I believe, because this is what the Scripture says. Again, I told you, saints, this is not an easy topic, but each one of us should take this word to task and see what is it that we believe about what we believe. This brings me to the second thing that the Lord has for the nations, and that is a sword. Isaiah verses 5 through 6 says, "For my sword has drunken its fill in the heavens. Behold, it descends for judgment upon Edom, upon the people I have devoted to destruction. The Lord has a sword. It is slated with blood. It is gorged with fat, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, a great slaughter in the land of Edom." Once this sword, the sword of the Lord, judgment is finished against the armies of heaven, it will fall upon Edom, Edomites, a people that the Lord has condemned to die. Here we go again, saints. This too is another now and not yet. As Bozrah was an important city of Edom, I believe that the Lord chose Edom because they stood against Judah, just as Esau stood against his brother Jacob. In fact, when Babylonians captured Jerusalem and took Judah prisoner, it was Edom who helped Babylon. However, listen to this, saints, the Edomites, the nation of Edom, would be destroyed shortly after that. This nation had already been destroyed. So I believe that Edom is a picture of the modern day nations that the Lord will one day judge. This isn't now. It's happening in the days and shortly after that of Isaiah, but it is yet to come. It's going to happen. In the same way that they are destroyed, it's going to happen here. Let me ask you guys a question. And John, I tell you, I always do this. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard anyone say, or have you ever read in the scripture where it says that the Old Testament is a foreshadow of that which is to come? You guys never heard that before, right? If you've been in church in any time, you should have heard that at least three times by now, right? The Old Testament is a foreshadow of that which is to come. As a matter of fact, Jesus says on the road to Damascus, he says, hey, listen, the Psalms, the writing, the prophets, they all testify about me, right? They all prophesize. They were all a shadow of the coming of Jesus. So the things that we read in the Old Testament, saints, we can best believe will come again. And then God, in his infinite sense of humor, he also tells us this. There's nothing new under the sun. But I do believe that this is a picture of the nations that are going to be judged. Let's listen to how they're judged. This brings me to the third thing that the Lord has for these nations, and that is a great sacrifice. A great sacrifice. The Lord uses this sword for punishment, even while it was covered with the sacrificial blood and fat of lambs, goat, rams, along with fat kidneys. Normally, sinful men would sacrifice these animals to the Lord for repentance. Right? This is normally how it worked. But in this case, the Lord will sacrifice the wicked himself. This is the Lord casting his judgment and his punishment upon those who are wicked, those who refuse to believe in Jesus. And some people would say, well, then we serve a God that's a dictator and a God that just, he wants things his way. And I would say, yeah, we do. But the only reason that he wants things his way is because he understands the way, and we don't. You see, God thinks of us all while I think of myself. This is why, saints, the church is important. This is why the body is important. This is why we need each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to build each other up. We need to encourage one another. And most importantly, we need to trust in God as one body. That's not easy, but we need to do it, saints. And I believe all of these nations that will be destroyed, they lack that. They didn't love one another. They didn't care. It was only about them. And we need to be careful, saints, because we can move down that road ourselves. We really can. The Lord would offer the slaughter in Edom as a great sacrifice. As I told you before, Edom had already been destroyed. But we're going to see that this will continue. Listen to what verse 7 says. Wild oxen shall fall with them, and young steer with the mighty bulls. Their land shall drink its fill of blood, and their soil shall be gorged with fat. The oxen and the young steer and the mighty bull will be killed, and their bloodshed would eat them. Right? Making this a fertile sacrifice for the Lord. And here's the thing, saints. The Lord takes no pleasure in sacrifices. He takes no pleasure in this that he has to do. But we serve a just God. You guys know that, right? Our God is just. And this brings me to the fourth and final thing that the Lord has for the nations. And that is a day of vengeance. A day of vengeance. Listen to what verse 8:9 says. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense. for the cause of Zion, and the stream of Eden shall be turned into pitch, and her soil into sulfur. Her land shall become burning pitch. Night and day it shall not be quenched. Its smoke shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. Man, what is going on here? Right? What's going on here, right? The day of vengeance refers to a future period of time, right, and not a specific day. Right? This is not just a 24-hour period. This is an extended time when God's going to put his plan into action. Right? However, it is during this period that the Lord will judge people according to their evil ways. And likewise, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion does not refer to 12 months either. Rather, it speaks of a time when the Lord rewards those for the sake of Zion. He rewards those who believe in Christ. That's what the recompense is. So there's going to be a time of punishment and a time of reward during this time. And saints, if you know anything about eschatology, we know this to be true. And again, I can't tell you when it's going to happen, and I'm not even going to try, right? Because then I'll be looking like that guy who prophesied the rapture last week or something like that. Four days ago? He prophesied that we were going to be raptured 4 days ago. Did you guys know that? Well, if we had been raptured, you would have known it. But it didn't happen. So I'm not going to try to be that man either, because I trust in the word of the Lord. And no one knows the day or the time but the Father in heaven. But this is going to be a period of judgment and a period of reward. And we know that those who believe in Christ would be judged a certain way with reward, while those who don't will be judged in another way with the penalty of death. Sulfur, brimstone, fire, right? This is why we have those people who preach brimstone and fire, which honestly, as I read this, I don't have a problem with them preaching it now, because this is exactly what it says. Listen to this. Isaiah spoke of the river of blood earlier when he talked about destroying the armies, which was caused by a slaying of these bodies that God has used for his purpose. Now Edom will be destroyed by fire. Right now, I'm not talking about the Edom that has already been destroyed. I'm talking about Edom that represents the nations of these people who stand against Christ. And the river this time, right, because Edom will be destroyed by fire, the river will turn to tar, the soil into brimstone, and the land like burning oil. I'm not saying that. It kind of sounds like hell to me, but I'm not saying that. And listen to this. Day and night, the fire burns continually. The smoke rises without end. These are not my words. This is from the word of God. Generation to generation, this land will never be used again, nor will anyone ever pass through it, because the judgment of the Lord will never go out of it. This land will continually be under the judgment of the Lord and all who has been judged. Verse 11 to 13 says, but the hawk and the porcupine shall possess it. Now, the reason I said process, I'm still processing this porcupine thing, right? So I'm reading porcupines and, you know, in Washington State, a porcupine, and if you've ever experienced it with a dog come home with quilts, you know what a porcupine is. And as I read this passage over and over, I was trying to convince that a porcupine, why it says porcupine, is actually talking about a bird.
Well,
yeah.
And I believe
that
desert owl and the
screech. Yeah, it's not. It's not a porcupine like we know it. It is a type of bird. that is a rapture. He goes around eating other birds. I had to stop there because I don't want you to think the little quilty thing running around poking people. Right? Okay. But the hawk and the porcupine shall possess it. The owl and the raven shall dwell in it. They shall stretch the line of confusion over it and the plumb line of emptiness. Its nobles, there is no one there to call it a kingdom. And all its princes shall be nothing. Thorns shall grow over its stronghold, nettles and thistles in its fortress. It shall be the haunt of jackals and the abode of ostrich. And while Edom will never be occupied by man again, Isaiah tells us that it will only be occupied by wild animals, right? Actually, birds, these wild birds, but it's going to be wild animals, but wild birds deemed unclean in the book of Leviticus. All of these birds are deemed unclean in the book of Leviticus. And like Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord will never allow anyone to build anything there. Thus, he confuses their efforts. And nothing could ever be built there because God will confuse their efforts. Therefore, it ever be a kingdom. Thorns will cover palaces. Nettles and thistles will cover the fortresses. And the land will become where the jackals live and occupied by owls. Verse 14 to 15 says, and wild animals shall meet with hyenas, and the wild goat shall cry to his fellow. Indeed, there is a night bird settle and finds for herself a resting place. There the owls nest and lay and hatch and gather her young in her shadow. Indeed, there the hawks are gathered, each one with her mate. Now, I'm not going to try to make this into something that is not, right? I'm not going to say, well, this means this and it's talking, because that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is God has used this place to make it uninhabitable for man, but you will have all of these animals gathered there. The wild beasts will meet in this place. The goat will call out to one another. It's just that simple. And the night birds will seek a place to rest there. And they will find a place to relax. They will find it. They will be at home there. They won't have to worry about being attacked. And the owl will nest there, laying their eggs and watching over them. The hawks will also gather there with their mates. 16 says, and listen to this, saints. Seek and read from the book of the Lord. Not one of these shall be missing. None shall be without her mate. For the mouth of the Lord has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. What is this book that Isaiah is talking about? It would probably have to be something either that he's written earlier that somebody read before him. Because it's not like you're going to find this in the New Testament. But it says in the book of the Lord that no one will be left behind and each will have its mate. Right? This is talking about the wild animals in this land. Not a single one will be absent because they are at the command of the Lord. The Lord commands this. And it is his spirit that brings them together. Speaking about these wild animals. Remember what Isaiah told us in chapter 13, verses 21 and 22 about the inhabitants of wild animals? Listen to this. Remember this? But wild animals will lie down there, and their houses will be full of howling creatures. Their ostrich will dwell, and the wild goat will dance. This is a place of safety where nothing is there. Hyenas will cry in its towers and the jackals in the pleasant palaces. Its time is close at hand and its days will not be prolonged. Isaiah explains in this message that this would happen in Babylon. This was Babylon's punishment. And Babylon was destined for destruction. So are these nations. And the Lord has condemned man from this area. So we're going to close in verse 17. He has cast the lots for them. His hands has portioned it out to them with the line. Listen. He has cast lots to them. His hands has portioned it out to them with the line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation, they shall dwell in it. It is the Lord that makes a decision on what part of Eden that these wild animals get. The birds and the beasts of the field. The land that they are given will be theirs forever. And they will dwell there generation after generation. Saints, again, this speaks of the now and the not yet. And while we've seen the now, we will see the not yet in passages to come. As we go deeper into 35, 36, 30, not so much 35, but 36, 37, what I just read to you is going to make more and more sense. But let me tell you, saints, this is not an easy message. It's not an easy message to preach. But I will tell you that it's a message that is ordained by our God. And when he says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. This passage was somewhat difficult. It had a lot of serious, heavy things that are going to happen. God is not joking. He is serious about his righteousness and his justice. Father, let us thank you for the truth of your word, Father. I ask, Father, that you let us leave here today pondering these things and thanking you for all that you have planned, Father. For sometimes we walk around in life as if nothing is happening, as if you're not doing anything, Father. But we need to remember, Father, that you are always at work, just as Jesus said. You're always working. And we may not understand your plan, Father, but just give us the wisdom to accept you and to believe in it, that it will come to pass. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit. And we thank you for your grace. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints say, amen. Amen.